This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And we're back in the Freedom Matters USA studios.
I was born by God's dear grace.
On What's on Your Mind, thank you, Aaron Tippin, for serenading us in. Lots of Christmas music, too, as we count down to Christmas. It is time for another edition of the Bitter Business Roundtable on the program. We do have some more naughty and nice contributions for the naughty or nice list. Been some great contributions. That was a lot of fun, actually, with the whole crew in here last hour. And more of them coming in by text, 701-237-1590. Just keep them coming, and we'll share those with you before the end of the program. We didn't get to all of them last segment. So keep them coming, and we'll be doing that. So the Better Business Roundtable is the monthly conversation where we're joined by a team of experts that help businesses sort through all the challenges in owning and operating a business. Tom McDougall of High Point Networks is here. Chad Flanagan with Ide Bailey. Dan Stoller from Sterian Bank. Jack Emmer with us today from Onstead Twitchell. And good morning, everybody. Glad to have you back on the program. Merry Christmas.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Scott.
So today we're going to talk about who do you want to sell your business to? Wouldn't it be anybody with the highest offer, Tom?
No.
Is that a tough decision? No, that's not the decision.
You know, there are people, though, that's their goal. It just depends on, I think everybody has a different goal on that particular subject, to be honest with you.
All right. So it isn't always necessarily the dollar sign.
It is not. It completely depends on what, this is just my perspective. I know there are others in the room. If you're a business broker, of course, you'd be trying to figure out how to sell for the highest price. But in my opinion, it depends on if what you've built is something you want to have live into longevity or if what you built is just something to sell. And if what you've built is just something to sell, then go for the highest price. Why not? If you're looking for longevity, then it's all about fit. It's about culture. It's about management styles. It's about people. It's all about all the things that are the soft skill component of a merger.
Chad, what other range of options are there for people that are looking to sell to consider?
Yeah, I agree with Tom and his perspective, because we do see a lot of business owners that aren't interested in top dollar. They're more interested in creating a legacy, a culture that lives on. You know, options for business owners are really third parties first. You could sell to strategic buyers, private equity groups, those type of buyers. You can sell to employees. You can do something formal in an ESOP, employee stock ownership plan. Or you can sell to employees in a leveraged buyout, getting traditional financing from a bank. And then finally, you can gift to family members. There's a lot of family-held businesses in this region, and some of them are in their second, third, and even fourth generation. So that's always one of the options.
Jack, when clients come to you, what do you want them to think about this?
Well, to go off of what has already been said, it's all about your goals. It's whether you're in it to get the most money possible, or is it you want to see that legacy, you want to see it last, and there's ways of structuring it, whether it's employees or even with third parties where you can ensure that will be the case. So I approach it in that way right away. It's what are your goals, what are you looking to do, and typically we get, I mean, it is always money versus legacy.
Dan, what do you want to contribute to that when you're talking to clients at Starian Bank? What do you?
I think some of it depends on what type of business you actually have. You know, what are you trying to sell? Are you trying to sell a commodity that's easily picked up by a broker type buyer, or are you selling a family owned type of business that you want to continue that legacy and you want to continue that family owned local business flavor? Most of the time what we see with our potential buyers is they're buying a family-owned business, typically something that they've worked in or worked around or worked in that industry. But we're seeing a lot of ESOP transactions, a lot of employee stock ownership or just employee ownership opportunities as well. Of course, family always comes into play. It seems like that's always a great opportunity. But we see family-owned or ESOP right now primarily.
How, and talk about all the different scenarios of what you can do, how important is it for the people that work there? You know, so if you've got you've got a team of people that have built this business and now it's an opportunity for you to sell, you know, is it, you know, I could sell for this price, but if I sold for that price, you know, the team would still be intact. Tom, is that a consideration?
In my case, absolutely. And the reason I say that is because we've built a reputation over the last, well, just about 20 years now, that our customers have come to expect a certain way of being treated and a certain way of being handled from a price perspective and, you know, all the different things that go with building a business. And you know, if you start pulling this game where, you know what, I'm going to go figure out how do I get the most money out of this transaction, you know that there's no way. I mean, you've worked in this business this long. There's no way that somebody can spend that kind of money and keep that sort of customer experience in place. So in my opinion, in my case, keeping the team intact is far more important than what if I were in a position where I was interested in selling, which I'm not, but if I was...
A little disclaimer there for everybody over at High Points just, Networks. This is just, a hypothetical
just in
conversation.
Case you're wondering.
Yeah.
If I were in that position, the number one thing would be I would start thinking about things like these guys are talking about, employee stock ownership, some sort of internal sale. Obviously, in our case, there's family involved. All of the things that they talked about would be part of our transition plan to something different than what it is today.
What do you think of an ESOP? Employee stock ownership plan?
Boy, you're going to put me on the spot on this one, aren't you? I'm not a big fan personally. But I've had my own experiences with them, so therefore that's why I'm not a big fan. I know others are big fans, and it's worked out phenomenally well for others. So I think that I have this analogy in my head, and this is just my opinion, there where you have too many cooks in the kitchen and nothing really ever gets cooked. And I feel like to have a really good, long-standing, growing business done properly with the correct management in place, there's better options where there are limited numbers of owners.
All right. Let's just go around the horn here and talk a little bit about overall big picture on an ESOP.
Yeah, so Tom's not a fan, but he's right. I mean, they work great for some companies and not as well for others. I think growing companies with a stable management team where there's a lot of depth make for better ESOPs. If there's a lot of volatility and a lot of turnover at the leadership level, that's a disaster for ESOPs. So we see a lot of clients moving that direction. Some of them do 30% ESOP, some are 100%. And you know, a lot of people are scared off by maybe some of the administrative costs or some of the hoops you got to jump through to comply with the ERISA and the DOL. But if you have a good ESOP structure, you have a good trustee, good advisors, it can be a great tool for those employees. You know, there's studies all over that say those businesses that are owned by employees get more productivity out of them. They're more invested. Just kind of goes to say that if they feel like
owner.
An owner,
yeah.
When they walk in the door, they're going to do better. So a lot of advantages. I know a lot of people think you have to be extremely large to be an ESOP. That's not true. I know there's some administrative expenses, but if you're a $5 million company, you might still be a candidate for an ESOP. So I think it's important you talk to your advisors about those opportunities.
So when you say large, you're not talking the amount of employees. You're talking about revenue.
I think both are important. I kind of hear from our advisors, 25 or more employees, 5 million more revenue, just as a rough indicator. So to me, that puts a lot of businesses in that category.
Yeah. All right, Jack, how about you? What would you tell folks about? I've heard that, you know, and Dan touched on this, that Chad touched on that rather, challenging. There are big projects to get off and running and, you know, really kind of onerous. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
It's a whole other animal. It's certainly there's a laundry list of things that would have to get done that would take up hours of this show if we try to get into them all. But that is obviously is a disadvantage, right? And it really comes down to how big's your company? Is this going to benefit? And Chad touched on it too. It's, you know, there's certainly, it can be a 30% ESOP or it can be entirely. And it does matter, especially when you're considering, is this going to be worth it for our company? Is it going to incentivize our workers? So it is really a case by case, and I hate to say that because that is the typical lawyer thing to say, but it really does come down to what you want to see in your company and the culture and everything else.
All right, Dan, we'll let you weigh in on this as well. We're going to talk other options as well, third party and mergers and pros and cons of each in our roundtable today. Tom McDougall of High Point Networks, Chad Flanagan from Ide Bailey, Dan Stoller from the Starion Bank, Jack Emmer with Onstead Twitchell today. The Better Business Roundtable. Always good information. We will take a short break, come back more of this conversation after this on What's on Your Mind.
At the University of Mary, we are truly military friendly. Our special admissions team has years of real world military experience, so we know just how to support your advancement every step of the way. We offer scholarships, credit for prior learning, and make sure you and your family receive all available military benefits. Classes start every 5 weeks. Discover University of Mary's true military friendly community at umary.edu/military services.
Veteran and locally owned since 1932, Action Movers is North Dakota's largest and oldest mover. Whether you're moving across the street or across country, Action Movers will make your move easy by handling every detail from start to finish. From packing, loading, transporting, storage, or even do-it-yourself with a Go Mini container delivered to your driveway, they truly have every solution for your move, accommodating all budgets. Get a moving quote today and mention Scott to save 10%. Call them at 701-566-5532 or visit actionmovers.com to set your appointment.
Did you know that the oil and natural gas industry touches every corner of North Dakota? It's true. Each year, the industry pays over $2 billion to the state of North Dakota. That money flows across the state, funding everything from education, roads and flood control projects, to social services and law enforcement. Learn more at ndpetroleumfoundation.org. North Dakota Oil and Natural Gas. Advancing the possibilities.
Hi, this is Kevin Piper with Piper's Auction Company. Piper's upcoming December auctions include 280 acres of exceptional cropland in Clay County near Barnesville and Craigness, Minnesota, 295 acres of cropland in Ransom County, 320 acres of cropland in Lemoore near Dickey, North Dakota, 780 acres of cropland near Chaffee, North Dakota and Cass County, 503 acres in Botno County near Westover, and an excellent line of gravel trailers and semi for DG Trucking in Bismarck. View these auctions and many more land and equipment auctions at Piper's.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
And Dancer, and Prancer, and Vixen, Comet, and Cupid, and Donner, and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
What's on your mind is brought to you today by PetroServe USA. Home cooking, grab-and-go convenience. Your needing a little sustenance after digging yourself out or warm up a little bit, a little comfort food waiting for you, like Tater Tot Hot Dish, MP Avenue in Glendon, Macaroni Hot Dish in Euland, Barbecue Pulled Pork on 45th, Meatloaf for Chicken Tenders on West Main Avenue, West Fargo, Popcorn Chicken Bowl today in Arwood, or a hot beef sandwich, sounds like a good cold weather meal, or chicken pot pie, another good one, those in Valley City today. All right, we did not get to you to talk a little bit about ESOPs, and then we're going to go around on mergers as well before we wrap up here on our conversation today is just about who do you want to sell your business to? What works the best? So, Dan, if you would, on ESOP, go ahead and give me your 2 cents.
I think an ESOP, like any other sales transaction, you've got to have a good succession plan. You got to have a good managerial plan. Know who's in charge. Usually with an ESOP, you're going to have a trustee, you're going to have a board of directors, and you're going to have a management team that's going to represent that ownership group. I think as we were talking off air, you know, sometimes there's this misconception that everybody sort of has a vote in the game. And even though you're an employee owner, generally speaking, that vote in the game is represented by somebody on a management team or an executive board. Eliminate some of that chaos. So, you know, some of these transactions work very, very well. I'd say most of them that we've seen have worked pretty well, but there are some downfalls. There are some things that you probably want to get in front of one of your experts and have some conversations on how does this look like. That said, it's the same anytime you sell a business. You want to get with the Ide Baileys of the world, the Onstead Twitchells of the world. You want to understand what this transaction looks like and what it's going to look like in the future. Most of our customers, they're talking about, you know, what is my entity going to look like? What's the survivability of my entity going to look like after I sell? There's still that concern. So.
I'm going to start the next round with you again, Dan, and talk a little bit about just the question of selling to employees in general. If they don't have cash, we obviously, ESOP is one way to sell to your employees where you're planning well ahead of that. But what if somebody, you know, says, hey, I want to do this? What kind of conversation do you have with them there?
Well, it starts with, you know, what does that transaction look like? Whether it's an ESOP or an individual who currently works for a company looking to buy that company, generally speaking, you're going to see some form of seller carry back. You're going to see the owner carry back some debt, and that helps in those cases where maybe a buyer doesn't have full cash. Most ESOP transactions are fully leveraged, meaning we generally finance 100% of the ESOP because, you know, we don't go around with a plate and say, how much are you going to contribute? Your contribution comes with time as you've worked for that entity during the vesting period. So most of those transactions are fully leveraged with the help of a seller and a bank institution.
All right. Jack, your take on selling to employees and the kind of conversations you have with clients there if they don't have the cash.
Yeah, and there's a lot of advantages for obviously continuing. If you want to see your business continue in the same way, obviously that's who you want to sell to, your employees, the ones who have been working with you side by side for years. One of the main considerations that I will discuss with clients and in that context is, you know, if it comes down to financing, there's a lot of flexibility there as far as you know, setting a schedule that you know is realistic for paying back. And also from the employee standpoint, you can also, if they're not ready to take over the business, if that's your belief, there's plenty of situations where we'll set up employment contracts for the seller where they're in there, you know, maybe even for just an hour a week. So there's a lot of flexibility to selling to your employees that if you want to see your legacy continue is obviously an advantage.
Dan? I'm sorry, Chad.
Yeah. Scott, I think not only do you have to look at some creative financing, and there are ways to sell to those employees that are up-and-comers and don't have the cash yet, but I think also go through a process where you evaluate who should be owner and how many of those actually want to be owners of a business. We've facilitated some sessions with clients where the people they thought should take over the business weren't interested in owning the business. They say, I don't have the risk tolerance for it. I don't have the stomach for it. I'd just rather work here. And oh, by the way, this other person who the staff are all behind is ready and they want to be the next owner. So we surprise owners with some of that information from time to time. So I think it's just go through a process, get some help to facilitate some of those conversations, and then, of course, work with your banker or Starian to help get a creative package put together.
Tom, how do I sell to my employees if they don't have the cash?
So we've had that conversation a few times of different ideas, and I'll just tell you about one of the ideas that we had, just similar to what these guys are talking about, but you could the seller can put themselves in a position where maybe they're the president of the board or the chairman of the board or whatever, and use a salary, and it's all about taxes and that type of thing too. So don't take all my advice. Talk to the guys who are the experts on this. But there are ways where a chairman of the board can take a salary, which can then deplete the shares and just go through, the different motions that you can go through. One of the organizations that I'm part of as a family business owner is the Prairie Family Business Association, and I'm not here to advocate for them necessarily, but if you're a family business, that's another organization where there's a lot of people who have gone through these processes. I happen to be the newbie in that organization, and there are families there who are on the third and fourth generation. So getting ideas from them has been a great idea as well. Most of them aren't going to sit down and try to advise you on anything from a legal or accounting perspective, but they can at least give you more ideas on how they've gone about it. So I've been that's been a really nice thing for me.
Last one, we have 90 seconds on merger, to go that route to selling your business. I'll start with you and go the other way, Tom.
A merger is a kind of a good idea if you're in a position where you're a business owner and you're not ready to retire at this point, but you're looking to grow your business and see something really happen with your business. I think that's when a merger would come in, and I would find somebody in my industry who is just like I look for mentors. I try to find somebody bigger, smarter, better than I am, and that's who I would glom on to and try to create something that works from a merger perspective.
Chad?
But I think it's just the culture needs to fit and make sure that it doesn't just look good on paper, that the culture of the two organizations align.
Good advice. Jack?
Yeah, I'll throw out something different. From a liability standpoint, I tend to try to push our clients to consider doing asset purchase agreements and doing what I discussed earlier and be employees, just so, that liability from the previous entity you're not assuming.
Last one, Dan.
I think culture's huge, Chad. I also think you got to talk to your friend tonight, Bailey, and make sure you both understand the value of your organizations that you're trying to put together so that down the road you're not arguing and disagreeing on what that value is.
It's the second Christmas gift today for the plug from Ike Bailey and Dan Starry in there. I'm keeping track. Thank you, guys. Great conversation, as always, on our Better Business Roundtable. The experts help you sort through all the challenges. Tom McDougall of High Point Networks, Chad Flanagan, Ike Bailey, Dan Stoller from Starry Bank, and Jack Emmer with Onsted Twitchell with us today. On What's on Your Mind. You heard the news that Twitter censored conservatives big time. They also suppressed information about Hunter Biden's laptop. Now Eric Bolling is on Newsmax, exposing Twitter's war on President Trump. Tune in tonight to watch Eric Bolling, The Balance, for news you need to know. And make sure you vote in Newsmax urgent poll. Do you want Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis as your candidate in 2024? Newsmax wants to know what you think. Vote in the Newsmax poll on Trump versus DeSantis. Just text the word ZONE to 39747. That's ZONE to 39747. Let your voice be heard. I tune into Newsmax for news I can trust. And remember, vote in Newsmax poll on Trump versus DeSantis. Text ZONE to 39747. That's ZONE to 39747. And make the switch to Newsmax. I did. You'll love it.
USA News Update. Winter weather will hinder holiday travel plans across the United States this week. Some will begin spreading snow through the northern Rockies today and start heading east. Meteorologist Joe Bastardi with Weather Bell on the big storm moving into Nebraska today.
Coming to Nebraska by tomorrow night. For instance, you'll be getting 0 visibility, temperatures below zero, winds gusting 40, 50 miles an hour.
Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts on Monday temporarily halted the end of Title 42 policy that allows the United States to expel migrants from the southern border. Roberts issued the administrative stay pending the High Court's decision. El Paso Mayor Oscar Leeser says they're already seeing 2,500 people a day cross into the USA illegally.
And that's 150,000 coming through in a single month, and that's where the federal government and the state will need to help us.
Lance Pry, USA News.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Anyway,
Chuck Berry.
He did, huh?
Yeah, the original. And Brian Adams did a version of it.
I think a couple of country people have done versions of it, too.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. 28 before the top of the hour, rolling on with What's on Your Mind. We still have contributions rolling in via text for the naughty or nice list. Thank you for that. 237-1590. You can send them to us at 701-237-1590. And we'll get to those before the end of the hour. Have you got our next guest ready to roll here? Daniel? Daniel does? Okay. Yeah, beautiful. Just wanted to make sure. The government is going to shut down on Friday if Congress doesn't pass a spending bill before then. So this is a crucial moment for Republicans who we want to oppose any one-year spending bill, even if it risks a government shutdown. And this is something the Tea Party patriots have been working hard on. The very clear position, Republicans should only vote for a short-term spending bill that goes through early January. Why? Because that's when Republicans take over the House. Why would we give them a year of spending and take 1 year of the 2 years in this House term and put it on ice? Because Republicans will have a lot more leverage in crafting a one-year spending bill that... Here's something. Cut spending. Better focused on Republican priorities. Bill Pascoe is with us from the Tea Party Patriots Action Group to walk us through the battle to do just that today on the program. Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
Merry Christmas to you, by golly. Glad to have you on the program and our little countdown to Christmas here. And we have a naughty or nice list going, and I don't know where to put the House Republicans here in the naughty or nice category. Until we find out what they do here. But walk us through what the latest is. What do we know?
Well, I would give the House Republicans candy canes. I would give Senator Leahy of Vermont, the Democrat who's the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, I would give him many lumps of coal. Here's the thing. The Congress is about to do something that no lame duck Congress has ever done. It's important that we understand that the Congress of the United States has been with us since 1789. In all that time, no lame duck Congress has ever passed a comprehensive full-year omnibus appropriations bill like this. It's never happened before. There's a reason it's never happened before. Because to do that means that you have to disrespect the voters who just went to the polls just a month ago. 4 weeks ago, we had an election. They made a change. They said, we want Republicans to run the House of Representatives. And because of that, right now, they're being disrespected. It's as if the Democrats have decided those elections don't count. We don't pay attention to those elections. We're still in charge, and we're going to do what we want while we're still in charge. Voters be damned. So they're actually going to do something that no lame duck Congress has ever done before. Let's go back 12 years ago to the last time we had exactly the same political situation. Republicans in 2010 had just taken control of the House of Representatives again, but the Democrats were still going to be in control of the Senate, and the Democrats still controlled the White House. So it's exactly the situation that we had 12 years ago. What happened then? They had a continuing resolution that went into January and then into February and then into March and then into April. They spent 6 months negotiating the government funding package. It wasn't decided until the middle of April of the following year how much money they were going to spend in that entire fiscal year. And the result was, and this is the point, the result was that we were able to achieve savings in the budget. We saved $42 billion in 2012, in fiscal 2012. Fiscal 2011. We saved $42 billion on the domestic side because Republicans were in charge of that negotiation on the House side. And having a seat at the table and having control of one of the two chambers is extraordinarily important when you're doing these kinds of negotiations. Right now, Democrats are still in control of the House. They're still in control of the Senate. And they're saying, voters be damned. We don't care what you decided just a month ago. We're still in charge, and we're going to ram this through. And what's amazing is that there are at least 10 Republicans in the Senate who are saying, yeah, okay, let's get out of here for Christmas. I want to be home for Christmas. So I'll go ahead and I'll vote for the full-year spending package. That's the real shame.
Let me guess, one of the names rhymes with Mitt Romney.
Sounds an awful lot like Mitt Romney. But, you know, it's the establishment bulls. It's Mitch McConnell, who's an appropriator himself. He wants to get out of town. You know, they introduced something a couple of years ago. They brought back in 2010, when Republicans took control of the House, the first thing they did to get control of spending is they got rid of earmarks. Remember earmarks? Those pet projects that individual members secretly get in the dark of night. They slip in these requests and they get funding for their own pet projects back in their district so they can come home and they can put out a big press release. I got money for this dam. I got money for this bridge. I got money for this new veterans health center or whatever. And it's all very popular spending back home. And because they're not spending their own money, they're happy to do it and they're happy to take credit for it. The problem is that earmarks are like the gateway drug to reckless government spending because you use earmarks, if you're the leadership, and you've got a member who's saying, I'm thinking this bill is too big. It spends too much money. It's too reckless. We don't need this. We can't afford this. Leadership goes to them and says, hey, what can we give you? Can we give you a dam? Can we give you a bridge? Can we give you a new veterans health center? You need a new post office? What do you need? We can slip it into the bill. Another $10 million, another $25 million here, there. Who cares? It adds up to billions and billions of dollars. And what's more important than how much money the earmarks themselves account for is that, as I said, it's the gateway drug. We use the earmarks as a bribe. So the leadership is bribing their own members with taxpayers' money to support the huge spending bill. So Republicans got rid of that when they took control in 2010. But then the Democrats came back into power in 2018 in the House, and the very first thing they did was they got rid of no earmarks. They said, we're bringing back earmarks, and they brought back earmarks. And so there's going to be something like 3,500 individual earmarks in this bill, which, by the way, is 4,155 pages long. And those guys are expected to read that bill and vote on it, know what's in it, within 48 hours. That's three times longer than the Bible. You think you could read the Bible three times in the next 2 days? That's crazy.
I smell some pulled pork and some pork chops.
You aren't kidding.
And some pork roast.
You aren't kidding.
And some ribs.
So it's funded now through the 23rd of December, right?
That's right.
They did this a short-term extension. So what we want Republicans to do is to extend it into the new Congress so that the Republican House will have a chance to weigh in on this. But Republicans are in a minority now, so how do they get it done? How can they thwart the Democratic majorities to get it kicked into the next Congress, where at least we have a Republican House?
Well, what happened here, everything you just laid out is absolutely right. Here's the key. Republicans in the Senate control the outcome in the Senate. Democrats cannot ram it through the Senate. They can ram it through the House because the House is a majority-run institution. On any given day, 218 members can do just about anything they want under the rules of the House. And Democrats are in control. So if they can get 218 votes out of their own members to vote for it, then it goes through. Republicans can't do anything to stop it in the House. But in the Senate requires, this is not a reconciliation bill, which means it's going to take 60 votes to end debate. Well, the Democrats only have 50 votes to end debate. They got to have 10 Republicans agree to end debate. This is the beauty of the Senate. The Senate is not like the House. The Senate is an institution that is built to protect the rights of the minority.
But didn't you say there were 10 Republicans willing to go along with this?
Well, it sure sounds like it. That's what we think. We're hoping that they will wake up today and tomorrow and look at this thing and say, oh, what the heck was I thinking? There's no way in the world I can support that. We know that there's at least 25 Republicans, at least half of the Republican caucus. Based on the vote we saw last week, it's an indication that at least half of the Republican caucus in the Senate is willing to fight on this. The question is, what's going to happen with the old bulls? And right now, it looks like there are 10 Republican senators who are going to cave. They shouldn't. Everybody should be calling their senator right now, particularly if they got a Republican senator, and say, don't you even think of voting for this monstrosity?
Yeah,
if 41 Republican senators say, no, we're not going to do this, then the Democrats cannot end debate on this measure. They won't be able to bring it to the floor for a vote. And that's how you force them, because they'll get to Friday afternoon and say, my God, if we don't pass something by midnight tonight, the government will shut down. Now, you know, they won't want to remind everybody that it will be a temporary shutdown and that it will only be a partial shutdown. What we're going to do, if we ever shut down the government, whenever we shut down the government, they keep the so-called essential functions of government running. You know, we still need air traffic controllers. We still need the people at the Pentagon. We still need police forces. So it turns out that the last time we shut down the government, we found out that 83% of government employees were considered essential.
Oh my God!
Well, I looked at that and I said, "Well, isn't that another way of telling us that you've got a superfluous bureaucracy? 17%. You've just identified 17% of your workforce as non-essential. What are they doing there? Why are we paying them? I mean, that's a sixth of the workforce right there. We're $31 trillion in debt. Is it time to start making some savings here and there? And wouldn't you start automatically?" I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out, well, if we're going to save money, let's start with the non-essential employee. We don't need them. That's the definition of non-essential.
I have about a minute left, Bill. Who are the 10? Do we know who the 10 are that are waffling about or so far supporting the Democrats and being able to pull this off in the Senate?
I think they're the same guys that you. First off, you start with the Appropriations Committee. Because, there's an old line in Washington that the difference in Washington is not between the Democrats and the Republicans. And for the more sophisticated people, it's not even between the House and the Senate. The people who really understand Washington know that the difference in Washington is between those people who are on the Appropriations Committee and everybody else who wishes they were on the Appropriations Committee. So that's where you start. Look at the Appropriations Committee Republicans and then build out from there.
But it's, like you say, the usual suspects, rhymes with Mitt Romney and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. Got it. All right. Appreciate the update. Thanks for sharing that with us. We'll watch real closely what happens over the next couple of days. It's an appropriate concern. Thank you, Bill.
Discover Kinder Care. Kinder Care is assisted living homes located in West Fargo, offering adult daycare services, companion care, and assisted living, all the services you need available at Kinder Care, plus home-cooked meals, 24-hour security, personal care, and more, all in a cozy family environment located on 3 acres of land in a scenic, quiet country setting in West Fargo. KinderCareFargo.com or call 701-261-3246.
We love the American flag. That's why at ndflagpoleguy.com, that's all we do. We install flagpoles. We repair flagpoles. We wash flags. We replace flags. We want to install and take care of your flag. This is Jim. I'm ndflagpoleguy.com, inviting you to proudly display your love for America by flying Old Glory at your home or business. Call 701-571-FLAG or go to ndflagpoleguy.com. And thank you.
From field to fuel. A story from the North Dakota Ethanol Council. Did you know North Dakota's ethanol industry is a leader in carbon capture? Ethanol is pioneering carbon capture. While the world talks about it, ethanol is doing it. Here, now, reducing the carbon footprint. North Dakota's corn producers are increasingly efficient stewards of the land, producing more on the same land with less inputs. In fact, yields have increased 25% to 42% in the last 20 years using similar levels of inputs. Corn ethanol is our nation's best way to decarbonize transportation today. And corn ethanol has a significantly smaller carbon footprint than gasoline and is getting smaller. Find out more at ndethanol.org. ndethanol.org. A message from the North Dakota Ethanol Council.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers. Customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel, the first Noel, the angel did say.
We're brought to you today by MyPillow. Christmas shopping panic is upon us. My wife mentioned something to me last night I didn't even think of. She was mentioning how crazy it is this week out and about, just even on the streets and people. You know why? 2 days of shopping were lost last week.
Yeah.
Things guys don't think of.
Yeah.
Things guys don't think of.
For
you know?
A thousand, Alex. Yeah.
But if you want to find a great gift and not leave your home or business, MyPillow.com. The sleepwear is fantastic. The slippers are unbelievable. There are so many things here that you could buy. Just browse. Go to my store and get my coffee. That any good. Really, really good.
MyPillow.com, promo code Scott. MyPillow.com, promo code Scott, or call 800-506-9028. Breaking news here from the state of North Dakota. Brent Sanford is resigning as lieutenant governor. That'll take effect on January 2nd, and Governor Berger will be announcing a successor later today. Brent Sanford, the lieutenant governor, cited a desire to return to the private sector as his reason for resigning and expressed gratitude for the opportunity to serve as the 38th lieutenant governor for 6 years. How about that?
Does that surprise you?
It does not surprise me for the following reason. I don't think that Brent Sanford wanted to be lieutenant governor for another term, and I think Governor Burgum's planning on running for another term.
Oh, gotcha.
You follow me?
Yep.
So I think it's a time when you say, okay, I'm going to step off the treadmill.
Yeah.
I've done this, and now you
take over.
Been doing
it a while, yep.
Yeah. Now, where this will really, really become challenging for the Burgum administration is in the upcoming legislative session. I am surprised that it happened when it happened, because this will provide, you know, you had a new lieutenant governor coming in there presiding over the Senate. It could be a challenge. On the other hand, the governor may pull his lieutenant governor candidate from the legislature as well. I think he can do that, can he? I think so. I don't know the rules. But we'll find that out later today and put all the pieces of the puzzle together. So, there you go. Good for Brent and Sandy Sanford. That's, you know, not a small thing, the amount of time that takes. It's pretty unbelievable. So, that is our big news for the day, and that was just announced. The naughty or nice list has a few more contributions that need to go on there. The naughty list for all the people trying to distract us from the ineptitude of the Biden administration by continuing to blame President Trump for his alleged attempt to overthrow the government. Right there on the naughty list. Here's a long contribution from a listener. Naughty Nancy Pelosi, Shifty Alan, Adam Schiff, Chucky Schumer, Word Salad Cackle Kamala Harris. Word Salad Cackle Kamala Harris. There's a good nickname whose first name in Finnish means horrible. Did not know that. Did you know you're Finnish?
I did not.
The January 6th committee and Liz Cheney is another one. Naughty Fargo School Board for voting to change its policy, eliminating a requirement to answer questions submitted in writing. Is that right? So I have a question for the school board. I put down my question in writing, and they don't have to answer it anymore? Got to dig into that one a little bit. That seems bizarre. On my nice list, the linemen that keep the lights on and the heat.
Amen.
Solid contribution.
Line people. Okay.
Oh, excuse me.
Come on, man.
I didn't go to Stanford.
Come on. Inclusion, equity, whatever.
Did you see the...
No.
Stanford has a naughty list.
Lost on me.
Anybody that uses harmful language.
Ah, harmful language. What's harmful language? You're an idiot?
I didn't get... That
would
be harmful language. Yeah. You're an idiot. Tomorrow. We'll get to that on tomorrow's show. So I promise.
Beautiful.
Zelensky is on the naughty list, says another listener.
Yeah.
There you go. And somebody wanted us to know that you are correct about Elon Musk. That must be the chess game you were talking about earlier with Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Where he's asking these poll questions to ferret out the bots.
I'm seeing, you know, things about, oh, don't trust Elon Musk. He's not what he seems he is. And, he's
fake news.
With Gates and all that. I'm like,
fake news.
Come on. I just don't see him being that guy. I never have.
Like the dude.
Yeah. And my cousin worked with him. Worked for him, I should say. And said he's just pretty much a really brilliant, normal guy.
Let's book your cousin on the show.
Yeah, well, he's been on with us. Charles. Dakota Solar. He worked for him when he was working for Tesla Energy.
Yeah.
Down south. Yeah,
oh, that's right.
Worked for his cousins.
Don't think he was on What's on Your Mind, though.
Yeah, he was. We were talking Dakota Solar.
Oh, okay.
And we had him on.
Did we talk about
a year and a half ago or so. A little bit, yeah, more his cousins. because his cousin started the Solar City Company, and which became Tesla Energy, and the rest is history.
So, tomorrow's program, we'll do it all over again. Freedom Matters USA Studios, be back at it. Brought to you in part by our friends at Action Movers. You need a move? You tell them Scott sent you. 566-5532. 566-5532, the best. Professionally trained, background checked, veteran-owned, the best. God bless you, folks. See you tomorrow. What's on your mind? Charlie Kirk's next.
When joint pain controls the way you move, it holds you back. The Sanford Orthopedics and Sports Medicine team can help with therapy and treatment options that focus on finding your way forward without pain. If you're ready to manage your symptoms or plan for a future total joint replacement, we're committed to providing you care in a healthy and safe environment. Call 701-323-8920 to schedule a same-day appointment with the Sanford Orthopedics and Sports Medicine team in Bismarck.
Information comes flying at you, and the mumbo-jumbo is so confusing. When it comes to Medicare, you are not alone. Free and unbiased assistance is available to North Dakotans through the State Health Insurance Counseling Program. Need help understanding all the forms? How about your Medicare coverage options? Maybe you need to file an appeal. Whatever it is, we're here to help. To speak with a counselor, call 888-575-6611 or visit insurance.nd.gov. This ad paid for by the North Dakota Insurance Department with funds from the Administration for Community Living.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.